Blog Talk Radio.
20 years.
If you're one of the more than 250 million Americans who already have health insurance, you will keep your health insurance. This law will only make it more secure and more affordable.
It's just untrue. A lot of employers are going to drop their health insurance coverage to dump people on the government-run exchanges.
One of the concerns about health care and how you pay for it, one-third of the funding comes from cuts to Medicare.
Right. It is important for us to make sure this thing is deficit neutral, without tricks. I said I wouldn't sign a bill that didn't meet that criteria.
They used 10 years of revenues and 7 years of spending and said, see, look, over 10 years this pays for itself.
Cutting Medicare by $500 billion. He cut seniors' home health care by 11%.
It's a plan that asks everyone to take responsibility for meeting this challenge. Everybody.
Exempting some from complying with the new health care law.
They've been granted a special waiver from key provisions of the new law.
All this coming out in just the first 2 years.
This plan will reduce the cost of health care for millions.
Instead, they've gone up by 2,200. Premiums, I think, have gone up 9%.
Still leave 23 million people uninsured.
Let me also address a illegitimate concern that's being put forward by those who are claiming that a public option is somehow a Trojan horse for a single-payer system.
A single-payer health care plan, universal health care plan. That's what I'd like to see.
I think if we get a good public option, it could lead to single-payer, and that's the best way to reach single-payer.
Nobody is talking about some government takeover of health care.
I happen to be a proponent of a single-payer universal.
Now more than ever before, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If that body be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. 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 Until now. 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 Now.
You feel that?
Good morning, shipmates, and welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we are dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom. Doesn't matter what that Constitution says. Just forget about that document. Everybody else is. You want what's in that document? First, you must follow that document. And you must demand that your leaders that you voted for follow that document. If you do not follow that document, what the hell good is it? Just sitting in some museum somewhere? Oh, yeah, it looks nice, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure got a lot of nice things in there. It's too bad we don't follow it anymore. It'd be nice. You know, remember those days when you were free to think? Actually, you were taught to think on your own. Because, well, you know, once you left the nest, well, you were on your own. You had to think. You had to be responsible. But now, you can live in your mommy and daddy's garage until you're 26, get free health care. Get those free abortions up until, you know. Now, hell of a deal, isn't it? Speaking of things to be thankful for, kind of a very odd segue, but through all of the miasma, I guess you might say, there are still things out there to be thankful for. And they come at the weirdest times. All you have to do is open your eyes and look. And you can see good. Sometimes you have to clear away a lot of a lot of debris, and sometimes it just pops up out of nowhere. So again, on Thursday, we're going to have a very special Thanksgiving show. I know a lot of you do download, and you get this show archived. But I'm going to open this show up to everybody, anybody. Don't just archive the thing. Be a part of it. Call up, tell the world what you were thankful for. But keep in mind, you're not telling the world what you were thankful for. You are telling yourself what you were thankful for. You have to find what you were thankful for. You can't be thankful for what your neighbor's thankful for. Can't be thankful for what your mother, your brother, cousin, co-workers, boss, government. You got to find what you are thankful for. That's what Thanksgiving's all about, giving thanks. Well, I got a lot of things I'm thankful for, and my mother called me last night. She's getting up there in a couple of years, you know, and, well, her mother, my grandmother, was also getting up in, well, her years. Well, she's at that point now where, you know, common sense just doesn't exist anymore. You know, they do weird things. So my mother goes into the supermarket, granny in the car, make sure she's in her seatbelt so she doesn't get, you know. Well, somehow, granny didn't want to stay in the car like she normally does. Mom's in there shopping. She comes out. And there's this other woman over there who had seen my grandmother trying to get out of the car because she wanted to take a walk, which she can't really walk that well. That's why she's in the car, because Mom can't do her shopping in the supermarket, because Grandma refuses to be in a wheelchair or one of those carts. And Mom also can't push a wheelchair and a shopping cart at the same time. So, makes things kind of difficult. Turns out this lady understands what it's like to have an elderly parent, and she knew immediately what it was, and she stayed with my grandmother till my mother come out. My mother was very thankful. Of course, I'm very thankful, so I don't know who this woman is. I have no idea. Not very seriously, she's listening, but for some very oddball, strange reason, if she somehow has found her way to this website and got herself tuned into the captain, well, then maybe she is listening. But anyway, I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful that this woman took the time, instead of just leaving the old lady to walk around and probably get hit by a car who was coming around a corner in the parking lot. You know, they all drive like friggin' maniacs. So she stood with my grandmother until my mother came out. Then they get into the car. Mom's thanking the lady and on and on and on. They were talking and ended up being a student where my mother was taught at. Long, 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 long time ago. My mother was first there, first crew at the school when it first opened up. And so was this lady. She was one of the first students. I think my brother was one of the first students. Both of my brothers were. I didn't go to the new school. So that was kind of nice. Mom, you know, Mom's hugging her and all that, and they found something in common, and, you know, hometown. It was just very nice to hear that somebody would just, you know, do that to anybody, a stranger. So that's something to be thankful for. There is still good people out there. We're not all that bad. I mean, oh, okay, fine, America's got some faults, but, I mean, we still got good people in this country. So then, to make matters worse, they all get packed into the car and the damn car doesn't start. So some kid comes by, I guess Mom didn't know who it was, and he gave her a jump and that didn't work. But somebody else came by and said, hey, wait a minute, oh, it's probably your jumper cables. Let me put these jumper cables on. Well, put his jumper cables on. So now we got three people being nice. Then a worker from the supermarket comes out. Says, hey, there's a, you know, a place, you know, right over here. It's like some big mall kind of a thing. Or not a big mall, but I mean, it's a store right next to the supermarket. And he says they got a tester thing, and they can come out and they can figure out, you know, exactly what the hell it is and tell you what the problem is. Could be your battery, could be your starter, whatever. It'll tell you what it is. They just hook it up to the car, bada boom, bada bing, spits out the answer. So mom goes, well, I got granny here, and I got all this, and this and that. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Can you walk over there with me? The guy says, yeah, no problem. So he goes over there, gets one of the employees from the auto place. They come over there and they test it, and everything works. You know, there's no problem. No, your battery's fine, your starter's fine, car's fine. So mom gets in there, turns the key, boom, starts right up. Kind of embarrassing, but. The point is all of these people came out to help. That's my point. There are good people out there. There wasn't just one. It was like an epidemic of good people. So, I mean, it's nice to point out every once in a while through all the bad people in this country and in this world, it is important, I do believe, to point out the good people, too. If all you're going to do is point out the bad, well, then what the hell's the point? We all know they're bad. But it is nice once in a while to, hear about good people. So in any event, I just wanted to get that off my chest. And let the world know that there are still good people out there. And these people should be thanked. And, of course, my mom was very thankful. And I'm very thankful. I mean, it could have been a catastrophe. It could have been all kinds of problems. Everything ended up great. Just goes to show you there's nice people in this world. That's all that matters. You want to be a part of the program today? 646-716-7978. Let's open up the captain's treasure chest here, see if we can strike any nuggets of gold. Boom, boom, boom. See, this is what happens. This damn broken left-handed tongue I got. God almighty. I swear to God, I can't speak half the time. Drives you nuts. And what the hell do you do? Have a blog talk radio program. You can't talk. Idiot. Well, who the hell knows? In any event, I'm here. I like to talk. So that's just the way that is. Huntington Beach, California. They've got a bar there that is fighting to save a sign that salutes the veterans. Imagine that. Got to take the sign down. County orders. Oh, it's an ordinance. Says be nice to a vet or something like that, or have you hugged a vet. I can't remember what it was. It doesn't really matter. Business, you can put up a sign. Especially you're going to salute the veterans? I mean, come on. Look, if you don't like the stupid sign, find another place to live. You know, you don't like the bar, but then don't go in the bar. There's plenty of other bars out there. There's plenty of other little strip malls out there. There's plenty of other places that you people can go if you don't like somebody puts up a sign that says, you know, the salutes anybody. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be veterans. It could be saluting anybody. My God. Again, there we go. The C word, Constitution, First Amendment. Where's your First Amendment? Well, you don't have it. Why? Well, somebody got offended because you wanted to salute a veteran. So we have to take it down. You can't offend anybody. Well, wait a minute. What about the people who have to take the sign down? What about the veterans? Don't you think they're offended now? So it's okay to offend them. You just can't offend somebody who doesn't even frequent the place. They just probably heard that there was a sign up there and decided to, well, make a stink. Those are kind of people. Those are bad people. Those people I talked about at the beginning of the show, those are good people. These people and people that enforce ordinances like that care that they have a badge. That doesn't mean anything. All they did was they go to some academy for a few weeks. They give you a gun and a badge, and now I got to respect this schmuck? You're going to follow ordinances like that? Force people to take a sign down that salutes veterans? I'm sorry, that's bad people. I don't care how many damn badges you have on your stupid chest. You can carry as many guns as you want to. Bad job. Bad job. Think. Don't give me that city ordinance nonsense. I'm not going to buy that crap. Well, the Obama administration's foreign fallacy continues. Benjamin Netanyahu, he scolds our young man-child president, which is good. I mean, he gets it from Netanyahu, and he gets it from Putin. I mean, he gets it from the Syrian rebels. He gets it from al-Qaeda. He gets it all over the place. What foreign policy? No, it's not a foreign policy. It's a foreign fallacy. Plain and simple. What the hell is this guy doing to this country? I'm sorry, but we are not progressing. We are degressing. And if you can't see that, I'm sorry, but time to wake up. We're into some serious, scary territory here. No, this goes against every core value that was this country founded on. I mean, my God, we are in the wrong damn direction. We can sit around and we can bitch about it on the airwaves, but what do we do when we get to the voting booth? Well, nothing. I know I vote properly. I don't give a damn who you are. And if I don't like you just because you say that you're conservative, that does not necessarily mean you're going to get my vote. That doesn't mean anything. Prove it. You can tell me all day long. Okay, now go ahead and prove it. Back it up or shut it up. The president heckled in California over immigration. And wait till you hear his response. Oh, God almighty. Unbelievable. This country's just going to hell. I mean, hell might be a relief. I don't think I'm really exaggerating all that much either. From the Washington Times. Again, we're going to try to get into this story. Washington Times sues Homeland over seizure of reporters' notes. There's some stuff in there. We're going to get into it if I ever shut up. Spoils of war. Police getting leftover Iraqi trucks. We tried to get into that the other day. We couldn't get into it because I didn't shut up. NSA report outlined goals for more power. And spies worry over doomsday cache stashed by ex-NSA contractor, Mr. Snowden. Let's find out what the hell that's all about. That sounds juicy. That might be a little gold. Vermont confirms security breach to healthcare exchange website. Yeah, we've heard about those. Immigration activists storm Eric Cantor's home. These people, just people, come on. Now, come on now. Let's get into this. Huntington Beach. This is pissing me off. Oh, God, let me get a drink here. I'm just sick of all this. I'm just sick of anything Americana has got to be taken down and tore down. For what? Who's offended? And why would you be offended? How could you be offended? There's nothing to offend. What the hell's a sign actually say here? Huntington Beach. Veterans are rallying around a local bar whose owners say they have been ordered to remove a sign that salutes their service. Think a veteran for your freedom. That's what the sign says. Think a veteran for your freedom. Well, I can see a couple of problems here. They've got the F word down in here, so I can see, children and all. Well, we can't have that. you know, the freedom. We can't have that kind of talk on billboards and signs. And it's a little sign if you look at it. It's just above, you know, the bar there. It's on a corner. Johnny's Booze and Pool. All right. Corner. Looks at one of these, you know, little strip mall kind of deals. The sign evidently has been there for over 10 years, and nobody's had a problem with it up until, well, now. Well, why now? If there was such a big to-do, why didn't they tear it down, you know, when they first put it up? This is what I don't understand. And first of all, why would you, and they've also got one of those POAMIA insignias up there. So we have to take that sign down because these people who are, well, could very well be still prisoners of war. Those that are MIA, nobody knows. You can't put that up there. Somebody that, well, they gave their life for these creeps. I'm trying to think of the right word. Well, to disrespect them. These guys go out there and they become prisoners of war. Maybe they're still prisoners. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they escaped and they're wandering around the jungles, have no idea where the hell they're at. Living on bugs, rats, drinking mud. Also, these people who have no idea what these people were actually fighting for can disrespect them. And that's a total disrespect. If one of the neighbors got offended by this sign, maybe the neighbor needs to leave. You can't tell me that these veterans aren't offended. I'm offended. I don't live in the area, but I can still be offended. That's offensive to everybody. That's offensive to the country, for Christ's sakes. That's offensive to everybody that you want to take this sign down. That's where the offense is. Think a veteran for your freedom. It's got one of those POAMIA insignias. I mean, what? How could that possibly be offensive? I don't understand. I don't understand. The sign's been up there for 10 years. But now you got to take it down. Huntington Beach Mayor Matthew Harper says he has contacted the city manager about the issue and is waiting for an answer. Harper says he would support granting a variance to allow the sign to remain standing. He would support granting a variance? I'm sorry, what? Granting a variance? The word variance just pisses me off. What the hell does that mean? What do you mean, a variance? I know what you mean. The problem is, why did you use that word? You just disrespected them again, for Christ's sakes. What's the matter with you people? A variance? No. No, there's nothing to variance. There's no reason. I don't care what city ordinance you have. But for a sign like that, and if you take a look at it, simply says, think a veteran for your freedom, with a POAMIA insignia. It's got the picture of the shadow of the man. He's looking down. There's no excuse how anybody could possibly be offended and how any city ordinance could possibly justify their decision for all voting to have this sign be removed and then to get police to enforce it. There's some deeper problems in this country than I originally thought. We all knew it's there, but now it keeps getting more and more and more, and it's everywhere. It's coming to a town near you. If you want to live like this, well, hey, you know, keep it up. Keep going to the voting booth and keep voting them Democrats in there, because this is exactly where they're taking you. Now, what does that say for the young guys going into the military now? What does that say to them? Yeah, don't worry. I mean, you get in trouble and you get shot. We're just going to leave you there. You know, we don't have to come looking for you. And when you get done doing your service now, we're not going to thank you for it, because, you know, you don't deserve it, because you carry a gun. And you kill people, murderer. This is an outrage. I'm sorry, but this is a time for the president. I mean, he wants to open up his fat mouth about all these other little problems, Trayvon Martin and his old college professor. This is the time, Mr. President, to stand and talk to the American people. This is the time, Mr. President, to stand up and bring America back to America. We're Americans. We're not Europe. We're Americans. So what? We're different. Steinians are Liechtensteinian. Japanese. They're Japanese. China, they're Chinese, for Christ's sakes. Let them be that way. That's them. That's not us. We're us. We're a big giant mutt. We have every race, anything you could possibly conjure up, any kind of human race that you could possibly imagine that exists, is in the United States. It's a beautiful thing. But we're us. We're not Europe. We're not China. We're not Russia. We're not Liechtensteinian. We're not Australian. We're not Canadian. We're not Mexican. We're not South American at all. We're not, you know. We're us. It's okay to be us. It's okay to be you. Sorry, not for nothing, but it is. It's okay to be you. And if people don't like it, what the hell does that matter? So what? They don't like you? Well, don't like them back. That's all you got to do. Screw them. The point is that there's no excuse why anybody would enforce this law to take a sign down that says, thank a veteran for your freedom. There's no excuse for that whatsoever. I hope they do fight it. And if there is a remaining justice system left in this country, which the Senate pretty much took care of that. It's going to be harder and harder now to get anything. Harder and harder to get any kind of your freedoms back. And why? Well, because, it was too easy to blame Bush for all your little woes and all your little problems, and you drank the snake oil. All it did was give you warts. You drank that snake oil, you drank the whole damn bottle, and you asked for more. Snake oil doesn't do anything. Sugar water has more of an effect than this snake oil. But you bought it. And now, because you have, very big, fat ego problem, you're afraid to come out and admit that, your ideas, didn't work. You all drank the Kool-Aid. Oh, yes. Everybody's out there beating their chest, pounding the drums. Miss Mary Landrieu and all you other little opots out there. Oh, thank God for Obamacare. Obamacare. Everybody was going to have health care. Everything was going to be cheap. Everybody was going to keep their doctor and their plan. It was going to be unicorns and rainbows for everybody. Then when it didn't happen, what do? Immediately start blaming insurance companies, which we all know are all Republican. So it's the Republicans doing this. And Fox News underfunded it. We all know what article Fox News is in the Constitution. Well, that's well known. I mean, Fox News, right in there. Founding fathers, they knew what was going to happen in the future. They were that smart. And they put in there, Fox News has the power to underfund any bill that it feels necessary. Yeah, that's true. According to Ezekiel Manuel, you know, Rahm Emanuel's brother, he's a doctor. You know what? Would you want this guy working on you? You come into the hospital and you're bleeding profusely, and you want this jack wagon who just told you that Fox News underfunded the health care bill is why healthcare.gov doesn't work and why everybody's losing their doctors and their plans are going up because Fox News underfunded it. And you want this guy going to stop you from bleeding to death? No. No. Doctor, I'd rather die than have you work on me. Because if for some strange reason you do happen to save my life, I am more than confident that I'm going to, well, be rather deformed. Because you're an idiot. You are delusional. We need to stop putting these delusional people on the airwaves. I know Fox News, they all do it, ABC, CBS. They always put the other side on there that are, you know, that are boobs to make the other side look bad. I mean, Fox News has got a whole bunch of them. And they all think that they're on there for some real important reason. No, you're on there, well, to make the other side look dumb. We don't have to really work very hard with the Democrats. All they got to do, they're dumb on their shows. Then they bring Republicans on there. You're like, who the hell are these guys? Well, he's been a Republican analyst. What the hell is that? A Republican analyst? A political analyst? What the hell does that mean? Political analyst? We're all political analysts. These freaking titles and experts. Experts. Oh, God. Well, I got a piece of paper. It says right here I'm an expert. Oh, well, God damn. You got a piece of paper? Jeez. That's more than I got. Okay, he's the expert. He's got the piece of paper. So everybody listen to him. All right, let's get into this Benjamin Netanyahu here, scolding our little young president. Oh, God, I just don't understand it. I don't understand what this president, what this administration is doing. I don't get the madness. If there's a method to it, I'd kindly like to, see it, perhaps. I don't know. So the prime minister made it clear to the most powerful man on earth. No, he's not the most powerful man on earth. We need to stop saying that. This president is not the most powerful man on earth. We are no longer the most powerful nation on earth. This president took care of that. He handled that department real well. That's one thing that he did succeed in. He did degress this country. He did take us. We are no longer the superpower of the world. Russia's not afraid of us. The Middle East isn't afraid of us. China certainly isn't afraid of us. Hell, even Liechtenstein isn't afraid of us. Mexico's not afraid of us. Nobody is. And why should they be? I mean, we're not going to go back and save our guys. Well, you know, the fighting's going to continue. There's too many bullets flying around. We're not going to get there in time. You know, it's taco nights. You know, I mean, come on. We don't have time for all this. Just stand down. The fighting will be over, you know. Hey, look, they're in a dangerous zone. What do you want? You know, what can we do? You know, they bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. Well, they signed up for it. So anyway, getting back to the prime minister who made it absolutely clear to the gag, puke, barf, man on most powerful man on earth, that if he intends to stay the most powerful man on earth, important to make a change in American policy because the practical result of his current policy is liable to lead him to the same failure that the Americans absorbed in North Korea and Pakistan, and Iran could be next in line. Well, I gotta side with Netanyahu on this one here. I think there's going to be some serious eruptions in the Middle East here pretty soon. It just has that smell to it. You know what I mean? That it's just got those ingredients and everything seems to be bubbling. You know, the volcano is starting to smoke. We're going to take away all of our security and just leave a skeleton crew in Benghazi and let these 400 surface-to-air missiles go really unsecure. Then what happens? Oh, well. Hey, you know, it's one of those things. It's a dangerous zone. You know, what can we do? You know, we're sorry. It was that filmmaker. That's who did it. It wasn't us. I didn't do it. I was in bed sleeping. Hell, I had a fundraiser the next day in Las Vegas. Plus, Valerie was in charge. Her and Hillary. You know, they're competent. They're smart. They know what they're doing. They can handle it. So Benjamin Netanyahu calls up our little young president. Calls him up and discusses the interim deal on Iran's nuclear program, which is really not a deal. What it is a, open door for Iran to, build their nuclear bomb and get all their money back, get all those frozen assets. What is it, $7, $8 billion? That's all. They get that money back. They get all these other sanctions. All this other stuff now. So then now Iran can, the rest of the world, no, we're not building that stuff. No, we're not doing that. Wink, nod. Yeah, we're not doing it. So John Kerry goes over there. He's pounding his chest. Look at me. I just made the deal of the century. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you certainly did, Mr. Kerry. You made the deal of the century, all right. Yes, sir, you did. You just put nuclear weapons in the hands of Iranians. And the only purpose, the only reason why Iran even wants a stupid nuclear bomb is so they can destroy Israel. They've said it their whole life. That's why they're getting the bomb. They get a bomb, Israel stands a really good chance, blowing up. You think Iran cares if the rest of the world is going to attack them back? No. It's not the point. Point is to wipe Israel off the face of the map. That's the point. What happens after that is irrelevant. They'll get their 72 virgins and what have you not. Doesn't matter to them. To them, taking Israel off the face of the map is their only purpose for living. That's why they're born. So why would you allow these people to continue to enrich uranium? Well, they promised they would only go to 3.5 rather than 5, which is weapon grades. Man, they promised, they said. But they said. Oh, I mean, my God, how naive. I mean, this is beyond gullible, beyond foolish. This is dangerous. You can't be that. I mean, this cannot be that ignorant without being deliberate. This isn't the well, the deal that was really made, we'll find out when it backfires what deal was made. Let me put it to you that way. We'll find out what deal was made when it backfires. We don't know what it is yet, but it's sure to backfire. In any event, Iran is fast approaching a nuclear weapon. Now they got some money back. Now they got all these sanctions lifted. Now they can go full speed ahead and get their bomb in a much quicker time if they don't have the damn thing already. But if they don't, so they can't build any more centrifuges. Okay, well, they got enough. They don't really need any more. What, are you kidding me? I guess the only thing that you could do, but I wouldn't want that done in my country, but I guess there's really no way to stop them other than if they wanted a nuclear program, it would have to be run by, other people, which only leaves the door open for more corruption, more terrorism. Then you got a nuclear reactor that's been destroyed. I don't think the majority of the world trusts these people. I don't even think the Arab nation trusts these people. Those Gulf states, Saudi Arabia doesn't trust them. That Iran really has, if they were hit, I don't think there'd be that much of a fight. They got a pretty good army. I'm not saying that, but they're nothing compared to what could actually hit them. It hit them all at once. They wouldn't be able to fight that. Israel alone. Now it looks like Saudi Arabia might be getting in the mix. And you got other Gulf states out there. No. Iran, no. Do we need to do that? Do we really need to bomb people? Well, now it looks like that we're going to have to. When all this president had to do was say, no, we're not talking about anything until you destroy your stupid nuclear program or you let people in there to make sure that you do not turn this into nuclear material. If not, no, there's no deal. Sanctions are in place. But what do? Trial surrendered. Said, okay, here I am. We surrender. You can have everything back. We understand. Just don't, just don't build a nuclear weapon. Wink and nod. You see what I mean? Just tell the world you're not going to do it. We believe you. I mean, you seem like an honest guy. I believe you. What we have is two different, I don't know if you want to call them spins, but different takes on the phone call. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to President Barack Obama in a private telephone call Sunday to discuss the interim deal on Iran's nuclear program, according to a senior Israeli news lawmaker in Netanyahu's ruling coalition. But the White House, on official statement on the telephone call, made no mention of any disagreement being aired. No, it was not at all. Merely referring to their shared goal of preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. Well, that right there says that there was an argument. Because we know what the president wants to do. President just wants to show up, shake a couple hands, sign a few autographs, shoot a few hoops, shoot a few rounds of golf, dance to the latest Jay-Z album. Well, there's a little bit more to that, Mr. President. First of all, you have to think about what you're doing. Allowing these people to obtain a nuclear weapon is exactly what you're doing. Be nice to them. And taking their word for it is not going to stop these people from getting a nuclear weapon. The sanctions should have never even been in discussion until they were allowed to have people come in there and inspect everywhere and make sure that they're not, and keep them there and make sure that they are not using making this for weapon-grade uranium. Or destroy the whole entire program, which they wouldn't do. We can't trust these people. The world can't trust these people. And all we did was say, okay, fine, you can build your nuclear bomb. We don't care. We're going to act like we're being nice. So just don't nuke us. If you want to nuke Israel, we don't mind. But just don't nuke us. I don't know what the hell this president's doing to this, not only to this country, but to this world. He's having a world effect, not just an effect here in America. This guy's affecting the entire, yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he's fixing the entire planet. Yeah, this is when the planet's starting to heal. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jesus, God. And Obama, he defends this. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, this is, oh, yeah. Oh, no, my decision, this is a great decision. Listen to this. Here's the president defending his own mistake.
This weekend, together with our allies and our partners, the United States reached an agreement with Iran on a first step towards resolving our concerns over its nuclear program. Now, some of you may recall that when I first ran for president, I said it was time for a new era of American leadership in the world, one that turned the page on a decade of war and began a new era of our engagement with the world. Huge challenges remain, but we cannot close the door on diplomacy, and we cannot rule out peaceful solutions to the world's problems. We cannot commit ourselves to an endless cycle of conflict. And tough talk and bluster may be the easy thing to do politically, but it's not the right thing for our security.
Close the door on diplomacy? Excuse me? Close the door on Mr. Obama, you completely misunderstood what the hell you were doing. You're not closing the door on diplomacy. You're opening the door so Iran can build a nuclear bomb. And then you hear the crowd back there clapping. Whatever the king says, they just clap. I mean, it's pathetic. I wonder if they got applause signs in there, because sometimes it seems like the applause is a little bit late. If they didn't get the word, oh, yeah, that's an applause. Yeah, he said something important. Oh, yeah, he said something really good. Well, what was it? I don't know. I wasn't listening, man. I mean, these people don't know what the hell the president's even saying. The president doesn't even know what the hell he's saying. And these people are applauding, clapping and cheering, and fainting in the aisles. They have no idea what this president just did, not only to this country, but to this world. Iran having a nuclear weapon, it makes this world just that much more dangerous for a lot of people. I don't get what people's thinking is sometimes. God almighty. Frickin' A's. I don't understand how this president can come out there and just fumble the ball every time he touches it and then defends himself. No, I didn't fumble it. No, I planned to do it that way. Yeah, but you lost yardage. Oh, no, I planned it. Oh, yeah, that's what we want to do. See, we actually gained yardage because, we had estimated that we would, do at least lose three times as much. But since we only lost twice as much, we actually gained. See what I mean? So actually, I gained yards. That's arithmetic. That's how they think. That's how they add. That's how they subtract. Well, they don't really add and subtract. They just, well, just put the numbers in certain orders to make it look like it's something other than what it is because, well, they have to win. Doesn't matter what the issue is as long as they win the argument. Well, what does that get you? What's the end result? Well, people lose their health care. They lose their doctors. They lose their plans. When they do find another one, it's two, three times as expensive. And they got to drive 150 miles to a doctor because, you know, Obamacare doesn't have these doctors. They've only got the ones that don't speak English, that aren't quite finished with their medical training yet. Don't think for a second that's not coming down the pike. And what happens if they take out the wrong organ and you die? Okay, so you sue, but you can't sue the government. Well, yeah, you can, but they don't have to pay it if they don't want to. Then what happens? Well, you know, Johnny's still dead. So it doesn't matter to them. It matters to you. It's not the government's fault that the, you know, the doctor didn't know what he was doing, even though they hired a doctor that didn't finish his training yet and was, well, last in his class. That's coming. Don't think for a second. You can put it in the book right now. Get out the book and just start putting it in there because that's exactly what's happening. Saudi Arabia now warns it will have to strike out on its own. Saudi Arabia's pissed. I mean, this president, doesn't matter what he do, what he does. He just pisses everybody off along the way, wherever he goes. He just, like, meanders around the planet, just pissing everybody off as wherever he goes. Oop-de-doop-de-doo. But he's bringing so much peace and love. Oh, he's got a peace prize to prove it. A Nobel Peace Prize. How about that? Got, yeah, right there. Says it right there. It's on paper. Papers don't lie. Saudi Arabia claims they were kept in the dark by Western allies over Iran nuclear deal and says it will strike out on its own. I think Saudi Arabia probably should have been in a little bit on the talks. But see, the Americans, they don't need anybody. You know, he's the king. He's the king of the world, Barack Obama. He doesn't need anybody. He certainly doesn't need Congress. Doesn't need a constitution. He can govern. He doesn't need a constitution how to govern. He's got executive order power, which we're going to get to that later. If I can ever get there. It's coming up. Don't worry about it. So a senior advisor to the Saudi royal family has accused its Western allies of deceiving the oil-rich kingdom in striking the nuclear accord with Iran and said, I can't pronounce these names, would follow an independent foreign policy. I think it's Riyadh or whatever. I can't pronounce any names. I can't even pronounce American names. I can't even pronounce my name. So then we got another guy, Nawaf Obeid, whatever, told a think tank meeting in London that Saudi Arabia was determined to pursue its own foreign and policy goals. Having in the past been reactive to events, the leading Sunni Muslim nation was determined to be proactive in the future. What does that mean? Well, I do. Mr. Obeid said that while Saudi Arabia knew that the U.S. was talking directly to Iran through a channel in the Gulf state of Oman, Washington had not directly briefed its ally. We were lied to. Oh, no. Where have we heard that before? You can keep your doctor, period. Keep your plan, period. Lower your premium $2,500 a year, period. We were lied to. Things were hidden from us. The problem is not with the deal struck in Geneva, but how it was done. Well, Mr. Obeid, kind of have to almost agree with you on that one there. Chief, think you make a point. This president doesn't have to confer with anybody. Unless it comes to a point where he can't answer a question. So let's get into that. Let's get into that right now. First, I want to start off, we're going to lead into that, but with this immigration activist nonsense, what, I mean, these people, they just don't, if they don't understand what they are doing. They think they're doing some noble and courageous cause, but they have no idea the consequences that they are creating. And they're getting these people all, they're bringing in all these people from all these places. And you know that they're doing it. They're trying to cram in as many people into this country as they possibly can. Why? Voters. That's right. Voters, they all vote. And as soon as they come across the border, we are Democrats, we are here to help you. Republicans hate you. They want to send you back home. They don't want to give you money. They don't want to give you health care. They want to arrest you. So you hate them, and you vote for us. We'll give you medical care. We'll give you welfare, food stamps, place to live. We'll treat you just right. So they come over. Hey, this is great. These people are giving me all this. Okay, fine. What's that old phrase? You know, be careful of Greek bearing gifts. Well, you don't have to be Greek to know that if you're getting a whole lot free for nothing quickly, don't you think maybe perhaps that they're using you? Yeah. Coming over here, all you illegal immigrants that are coming over here, you need to understand the truth. You are being used. You are their little game piece. They're using you for a vote. You are nothing more than a vote to them. They don't care how much it costs the taxpayers. As long as you vote Democrat, they don't care. They'll keep you. They'll keep you right where they want you. That's the only reason why you're over here. That's the only reason why they bring you over here, is to simply get you to vote. You are nothing more than another vote. That's sick. That's sick and that's twisted. And why the Republican Party refuses to expose that, I don't know. They're cowards sometimes. They are. I'm sorry. But you act all big and tough, and, oh, we're going to hold up the government until we get this repealed, until we get that. Now we just wanted a delay, and then now we got, well, here's my drawers. I'm just going to drop them. We surrender. What the hell is that? I mean, if you're going to say you're going to fight, then fight. Don't stand up, pound your chest, and then bend over. You're going to pound your chest? Well, right, for God's sakes. If you guys were going to drop trowel like that, why did you even fight? Why didn't you just give in right away? Oh, that's right. You wanted to hold out for that $3 billion pork sandwich. Isn't that right, Mr. McConnell? But you had nothing to do with it. You seen it in there. But, oh, I didn't put it in there. Oh, no. Dianne Feinstein, she put it in there. Oh, yeah, okay. Please. Give me a, please, stop. McConnell goes in and has a little meeting with Harry Reid. They walk out, $3 billion pork sandwich, and everything's rosy. Mr. Boehner, that should have been the time where you should have said, I don't really give a damn how many pork sandwiches are put in a stupid bill here. No. We're here for the fight, man. We're here for a reason, a purpose. We're not here for some political games. Isn't that what you said? This isn't some damn game. Isn't that what you said, Mr. Boehner? This isn't a game. That's right. It isn't a game. But the moment you dropped your drawers and surrendered, sir, This is the moment you played the game. You are now in the game. We don't want any more game players. No more games. Take your board. Take all your little pieces here. Take all your little fake money. All your little greenhouses and red hotels. Take them things and get them the hell out of here. We don't want any more games. So a large group of immigration reform activists, oh God, stormed the house of Republican Majority Leader Eric Cantor's Arlington, Virginia condominium complex yesterday. Well, actually, it wasn't yesterday. It was last week. So around 60 activists crowded into the building's lobby until police arrived. Oh, at which point they moved to the street. Protesters used bullhorns despite police orders to the contrary, but there were no injuries or no arrests. Oh, yeah, yeah. The protesters chanted, "What we want, racial justice." When do we want it? Now. Okay, what racial injustice are they talking about? I'm so sick and tired of hearing all this racism, racism, racism. All you're doing is when the real racism shows up, well, what happens? Well, that's the fake racism. The fake racism is that's the real racism. And what makes it real racism? Well, if Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Tavis Smiley, if they get involved, then it's racism. And Oprah. Don't forget Oprah. Don't forget old Oprah. Oh, she knows a racist when she sees one. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All those white people that made her a billionaire? Oh, yeah, she knows a racist when she sees one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, Oprah. White people made you a billionaire. Imagine that. White people made you a billionaire. But these are the same people that hate you because you're black. Even though they made you a billionaire because they liked you. Is that any way to thank your audience, Oprah? I mean, what are you kidding me? Majority of your audience is white, Oprah. Well, it used to be. Not for nothing. Hello? You know, maybe if these citizens, they are not citizens, but if these people wanted to become citizens, maybe if they respected not only our country, but our country's laws, respected our way of life, not their way of life, but our way of life. Maybe if they respected that, maybe they might have a much better chance of getting over here a lot quicker and legally with no hassles, no problems. Maybe if they just respected us, but they don't respect us. They don't deserve it. These people don't deserve citizenship. Not for the way that they're treating this country, treating our laws, treating our people. In our way of life. And yet we should just automatically grant them citizenship? So they can all vote Democrat? This is what we should do? No, you look, you guys want to come over here? There's nothing wrong with coming over here. We all came over here. My family had to respect the laws. They had to follow the rules. They came over here and did it the right way. Now you got all those people that are coming over here doing it the right way. How do you think they feel? After they went all through all that to get over here, and now they got all these people just illegally crossing the border, and they get free citizenship, free this and free that. How do you think it makes them feel? Well, these people don't care. Democrats are piling up as much people in the system as they can possibly put in. They're trying to break the system down completely. That's their point. That's their motive. That's their raison d'etre, if you will. Entire system completely down. Just to say, well, it's all broken down, it's all Republicans' fault, but I'm here, thank God, and I can fix it. We can start over. Well, no, you won't start over. tearing down completely an economic system is not going to, well, better it. It's going to be damaged for, well, quite a long while. It's not going to be an overnight deal. I don't think these people understand. It's going to be poverty for everybody in this lifetime. We won't see when we get out of it. That's how deep it's going to be. We're tea partiers. We're tea baggers. Oh, we're haters. Don't you understand? What do we know? We don't know anything. Come on. We're haters. You know, bagging that tea. Yes, sir. So here's a couple of clips of the president. He was in California. I don't know if it was yesterday or whenever the hell it was. Who knows? This guy's all over the place, flying around Air Force One, putting a huge carbon footprint across the globe, costing the country millions upon millions of dollars so he can go to California, give a speech. You ever heard of, well, teleconference? You don't need to travel to California to give a stupid speech. That's the only people that are left. He's only going to places that, you know, there's very few pockets that he can go to now where he's in a friendly audience. So he's going to places like California, which they're hopelessly lost, those poor people. There's some good ones in there in California, and I love California. I do. Great people, good people, just dumb. They can't seem to get it. Well, liberalism doesn't work. So in any event, this is the president, and he's heckled by an immigration activist. You know, this guy, you know, he's famous now in his little college dorm, I'm pretty sure. Has no idea what the hell he's talking about. Pay close attention to this guy. He just thinks that the president can just sign an executive order. You have the power. Just make them all citizens. You have just use an executive order and get it done. And of course, Barack Obama, wait till you listen to his reply here. But the whole point is what I'm talking about. This is what this president does. He leads by example. So because the president just signs willy-nilly all these executive orders whenever he wants, this kid, that's all he sees. Well, the president signed all these executive orders. Well, he's got the power. Meanwhile, this kid has obviously never read the Constitution, and if he did, he thought it was just trash. So all this kid sees is the president signing an executive order anytime that he wants something done. He thinks that we have, you know, we have a king in this country rather than a president and a Congress and, you know, certain procedures, certain number of people have to vote, you know, certain number of people have to vote of a certain way. Otherwise, it doesn't count. But see, this kid doesn't understand that. So Barack Obama had to, you know, school him and explain it to him. See, it's okay when the president wants to use an executive order. But this kid just can't, you know, request an executive order. See, that would be like favoritism. So let's listen to this clip. This is cut number one. We got two of these clips. Go ahead. Number one.
And most importantly, we will live up. Most importantly, we will live up. Most importantly, we will live up to our character as a nation. That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. That's why we're here.
Please use your executive order to halt deportation for all 11.5 undocumented immigrants in this country right now.
What we're trying. Actually, I don't. And that's why we're here. Okay.
Enough of that guy. I can't listen to this. Yeah, just sign an executive order. Just sign an executive order, King. That's all you got to do. So, wait a minute. Oh, I don't have that power, actually. No, nobody's supposed to find out that I have that power. You know, see, that's just supposed to be my little secret. Well, see, this is what this generation, they see. They see a president should be king. Just to give and get anything that they want. These are called brats. Well, I'm sorry, but you can't have whatever you want whenever you want it. It would be nice. I would love that. But you can't. There's reasons for it. If you don't understand the reasons, well, then you have no business having this conversation. You have to understand. These people, that's all they see. Is they think because they have power, they want an election. We got the power in the House and the Senate. They can just do whatever they want. All they got to do is do it. And president, he's got executive power. He can just sign anything that he wants to and just have it done. Didn't you hear this, kid? You have the power. This is an idiot. This is a kid who has never read the Constitution and does not understand how our government works, including our president, who doesn't understand it. But the president actually said, wait a minute, no, I don't have that power. I don't. But it's never stopped him before. You know, if it's his idea, then he's got the power. You know, if it benefits him, even though this is going to benefit him, but if he just signed an executive order and gave all these people amnesty, he could get himself into some, you know. I wouldn't put it past him, though. It's going to get him in trouble, but I wouldn't put it past him. So in any event, we got to do some house cleaning chores here in the studio. So I'm going to leave you with a song by my good old friend, Terrible Ted, the Nuge Nugent. Been around for a million years. I grew up on him. So we're going to leave you with him for just a couple of minutes, and when we come back, we'll play cut number two of Obama's Little Heckler. We'll be right back. Cat Scratch Fever. That was from 1978. I do believe it was in Southern California somewhere, exactly where it was. But they just don't make rock and roll like that anymore. You know what I mean? You know? Ted, he's still rocking, though. I mean, the old goat, he's still up there rocking and rolling. And he's a good guy, too. He's one of us. He's a good guy. So I only play good guys on here. Music I play, I only play the good guys. Even though I know Jimmy Buffett, he's, you know, he's a two-panty-wearing liberal, but I love his music. He takes me where I need to go, man, and I really could care less what his politics are. I love Arlo Guthrie, too, and he's a three-panty-wearing liberal. And he's a registered Republican, so there you have it. I just get tired of being called, like, a hater and this and that when it's so untrue. I can love Democrats. It doesn't matter to me what their stupid politics are. I can admire the man's music. I can admire the woman's talents for whatever it is, the man's talent for whatever it is. I don't need to know their stupid politics in order to listen to their music and take me wherever the hell it is that I need to go. But sometimes, you know, some people are just so, like, you can't listen to their music anymore because they're just so far away from reality. It's like their music almost sometimes seems, well, now it's not real. But Jimmy Buffett's real. It's too bad he's not conservative, but puts out good music. I've shook the man's hand. I can die happy now. If I was to meet Jimmy Buffett, actually personally sit down and meet him and have a conversation with him, I'm pretty sure we could find something entertaining to talk about. Probably wouldn't take very long. I'd probably end up having a good time. I could talk to a lot of people. Just I'm frustrated not so much with the people, but with their goddamn ideas of this stupid stuff that just doesn't work and it just doesn't stop. They give you just a whole big pile of just crappy ideas. They vote on it in the middle of the night, won't let anybody read it. So you got to vote for it so you can find out what the hell's in it. Then none of it doesn't work, so what do? Well, you just keep putting more and more bad ideas into it. But it doesn't work. It's never going to work. It can't work. It was a stupid idea from the very beginning. All you had to do was concentrate on those people that didn't have insurance. Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you open up the market throughout the entire United States, and now you're going to have more insurance companies, which means, well, more jobs are going to pop up. That's always a good thing, right? Well, you got more competition, well, the prices are going to start to drop for everybody. Now you take these people, you go out, well, you got to release all these regulations and rules and guidelines, and you got to get rid of that goddamn EPA so people can go back to work. That'll create a whole bunch of jobs. Now these people who have these jobs, well, they can get health insurance. That would have put a lot of people back into the health insurance market. And those that didn't, well, we're going to end up paying for them anyway. We can work on other things. But we did not need to completely dismantle the greatest health care in the entire world. And I don't buy this nonsense that we had such a broken health care system. That's BS. We did not. We had the greatest health care system. If it was so terrible, why did so many people from so many different countries come over to this country then? Yeah, there were people that were uninsured. Yeah. Well, you're going to have that just about anywhere. So in order to fix the problem, they just create a bigger problem, which doesn't fix the problem. That's the problem. But they're the government. They know better. They won an election. Of course they know more than people like me. They won an election. Come on, don't you know when you win an election, you're automatically the smartest person in the world? Don't you know you got extra powers? You know, according to that kid, President, you've got the power, Mr. President. You've got the power. Kid, no, he does not have the power. Even the president had to admit that he doesn't have the power. But if it's something that's going to benefit him and save him from, well, getting caught doing something illegal, then it's okay. Then he can have an executive order. So let's get into this cut number two. So this is Obama being heckled. Number two. Go ahead, go.
Hello?
Hello, back there. Wake up, wakey, wakey.
You know, I respect the passion of these young people.
Oh, yeah.
Because they feel deeply about the concerns for their families.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what you need to know...
Oh, yeah.
When I'm speaking,
mm-hmm.
as President of the United States...
Oh, yeah. President. Not
and
King.
And I come to this community...
Yeah, I come to this
is
community.
...is that if, in fact, mm-hmm. I could solve all these problems without passing laws in Congress, then I would do so. But
well,
we're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition. And
well,
so
before,
the easy way out is to try to yell and pretend like I can do something by violating our laws. And what I'm proposing is the harder path, which is to use our democratic processes to achieve the same goal that you want to achieve. But it won't be as easy as just shouting. It requires us lobbying and getting it done.
When has this guy been worried about violating laws? This guy has been violating the Constitution his entire friggin' life. What, are you kidding me? This guy has violated this Constitution from top down to the goddamn bottom. And now this guy, now he wants to worry about, he doesn't want to violate any laws because he doesn't have an answer? Because he doesn't want to tell the truth. He's like, hey, kid, I'm working on it. Okay, all these immigrants coming over here, they're going to be new Democratic voters. So they're coming over here for us so we can always win every single election. So just bear with me there, kid. I do have the power, but I can't say that publicly because if Fox News finds out about it, well, then I'm going to be, you know, they're going to lambast me in the news every night. And they're going to get that ABC's John Carl involved, too. We've got to get do something about him. Jesus Christ. Oh, no, I can't just possibly sign an executive order. We got those impediments. You know, those Republicans, you ever hear of them? From doing what needs to be done. They stop me from governing. No. Well, they stop you from, well, they're trying to stop you. There's a couple that do. But they should. They should have already stopped your tyrannical activities, Mr. President. But they do need to come to a screeching halt. I'm sorry, but that things like that, people who do things like this, well, they never get away with it. They never, ever get completely away with it. And you're not going to be, you're not going to get away with it, Mr. Obama. You need to stop. Okay? Your sails and go dead in the water here for a little while. You know? Enjoy the sun rising over the horizon. Can't close the door on diplomacy, he says. Imagine that. Really? Can't close the door on diplomacy. But you sure closed that door on common sense, though, didn't you? You slammed that bastard shut. I mean, how could this administration be so naive that they would put the entire world, I mean, in a very, very dangerous place? He just, I mean, this world is not safe now. I mean, Iran can hit, just about anybody he wants, or they want. Do you think for one second that that bomb is not being created to specifically target Israel? Think again. That's the only purpose for the thing. That and probably used to, threat purposes. And if Israel doesn't meet those threats, Israel stands a pretty good chance of getting a nuclear bomb on their lap. And they don't care. Iranians do not care what it's going to do to the rest of the world. Mr. President, you should have cared what this is going to do for the rest of the world, but you didn't. You surrendered. We have no respect in this world anymore. This planet does not respect you. The citizens of this country don't respect you anymore. The polls keep showing that. I'm not big on polls, but I mean, these polls are everywhere. Even the Democrats aren't denying the polls. So that tells me, well, these things got to be pretty close to being right. This country doesn't respect you anymore. They fear you, but they don't respect you. There's a big difference. You know what happens when an animal is fearful? When they get afraid, they're full of fear, they start reacting in haste. This is what happens when you make people afraid. When they fear you, they will act in haste. People get hurt. A lot of bad things happen, which we don't need. We don't need any of this stuff. We can avoid all of this. I just don't see how this is possibly going to have a happy ending. I cannot for the life of me see how there could possibly be any happy ending to any of this. Unless we turn the ship around and turn it around now. But will we? Well, as long as we got, you know, Peter King, you know, John McCain, McConnell's and all these, no, ship will just go headed right for that hurricane. Right there at the center of the storm, heading right into it. Oh, look at this. Major donor complains about the no valet parking at the White House. Damn it. That's horrible. No valet parking at the White House. Had to park your own car and walk? What? What the hell is this all about? Let's read this here. At a Beverly Hills estate last night, President Obama heard a complaint from a major donor. There's no valet parking at the White House. The complaint was made by Chaim Sabin, I guess. I don't mean any disrespect if I can't pronounce your name right. I just can't pronounce your name. I can't pronounce anybody's name, so don't take offense to it. It's just the way it is. So Mr. Chaim Sabin introduced President Barack Hussein Obama with a four-minute speech that needled the commander-in-chief for the lack of valet parking at the White House. So here they're doing this fundraiser at $16,200 a pop for a stupid plate of probably just an awful tasting dinner. It's probably nasty. I bet it's gross. I'm sorry. I bet if I eat that dinner, I bet it's like, no way to hell, this thing is worth no $16,000. Yeah, we're going to go to McDonald's after this is over. This is nasty. I bet it is nasty, and I bet it smells, too. I bet it stinks. And all these people, ooh, we love it. But you don't. Because you can't wait to get to the bathroom to puke it out of you. Those dinners are awful. So, Mr. Sabin said, last Friday, the President and First Lady were very generous and kind with their time. Oh, well, you know how they are. They're very kind and generous people. They invited us to the White House for a very small, intimate dinner. And we had a wonderful time. Great food, great company, very inspiring. But no valet parking. You know what? I had to walk to the White House. We had valet parking at the Sabins. So, Mr. President, if you would, please... Thank you. Taxpayers' money? Oh, I'll fund it. No problem. Poor bastard has to walk. That's horrible, making a man walk. Mr. Chaim Sabin? Oh, I'm sure he's a mucky muck. I don't know what he does, but he's a mucky muck somewhere. Hey, you can afford $16,000 a plate of awful, nasty, gross food. Oh, you got to be a mucky muck. Who gives a damn on these stupid valet parking. How about the people who, well, they lost their car because it got repossessed because they lost their job because of Obamacare and they couldn't afford the payments? And this bastard's worried about having to walk. No valet parking. He's got to park his own car. Meanwhile, people are out there that don't even have a car anymore. This president took care of that. Well, you lose your job, then well, you can't make your payments. Take your car. Well, then you can't go back to work because you've got nowhere to get. Can't even afford to buy a bicycle. You can still walk. That's free, but it's, you know. Don't even have enough money to take a bus. But this bastard's complaining and crying like a little bitch because there's no valet parking at the White House? And then they come on and they talk about how much they, the poor people, we got to do something with the poor people. Well, if you're so concerned with the poor people, why are you bitching about having to walk? Park your own car and walk up to the White House. Why are you bitching about that? Where are your priorities? Where are your perspectives, sir? Where are they? They're up your ass. That's where they're at. Come on. And then, of course, the president gets up there and he tries to laugh it off and says something stupid about, well, we gave valet parking to your wife, but she didn't want it. And just shut up. Just the whole lot of you, shut up. $1,000 a plate. $16,200. Why is it $16,200? That's a weird number, don't you think? Don't you think that's a weird number? Why not make it an even, well, $20,000 or $15,000? But $16,200, what the hell kind of a number is that? I don't know. Spies worry over doomsday cache stashed by ex-NSA contractor Mr. Snowden. What? I mean, you knew he had something. I'm still not... this Snowden character, I can't help but wonder if this guy, you know, wasn't a spy. But for who? And for what? How did he get this information? How did he get out of the country? Why would he go to China and then go to Russia? I mean, how does a guy, I mean, we've got either, I mean, this guy is a spy of some sort. And there is a serious conspiracy going on from a lot of different nations, I guess it would have to be. Or maybe our own nation is doing it. There's a conspiracy. Something's going on somewhere. It's either that or the level of incompetence in this government is just more overwhelming than what we ever could possibly imagine. Some kid without a high school diploma... 2 months on the job can just walk in and start stealing top secret confidential material and then fly to China and then to Russia. I mean, there has to be some big boys involved in this. I cannot believe for one second that this Mr. Snowden did all this on his own. I cannot possibly conceive that this one guy, this one rogue employee, there they go with that rogue employee theory again. But I can't for one second believe that this, I don't mean to be, conspiratorial, but here a guy supposedly doesn't have a high school education, been on the job for like 2 or 3 months, is able to walk in and extract all this top secret, highly confidential material, fly to China, and then to Russia without any help? Please. Please, stop. How? Come on. No, I cannot buy that this guy did this all on his own. He had to have a lot of help. He had to have some big boys in the mix. Excuse me. Damn, allergies hit me again this morning. You'd think they would be over with already, but no. One last blast, I guess, before winter sets in. So Reuters, British and U.S. intelligence officials say they are worried about a doomsday cache of highly classified, heavily encrypted material they believe former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden has stored on a data cloud. Hey, you get off of my cloud. Well, the data is protected with a sophisticated encryption, and multiple passwords are needed to open it. We need to get a hold of Jack Bauer, open up CTU. Wonder what Chloe's doing these days. Yeah, wake her up, get her sober, get her behind them machines. Find out what the hell's going on here. The passwords are in the possession of at least three different people and are valid for only a brief time window each day. So this data, this protected, sophisticated encryption data, has passwords that are in possession of at least three different people, and they're only good only a brief time during each day. Makes it kind of difficult, doesn't it? One source described the cache of still unpublished material as Snowden's insurance policy. Well, maybe he isn't that dumb. Maybe he did do this all on his own. If he did do it all on his own, why didn't he graduate high school? This guy would have to be pretty smart. Dummy couldn't do all this. That's why none of this stuff makes any sense. Who's really Eric Snowden or Edward Snowden? Is Edward Snowden another one of these Oswalds? You know, CIA or this and that, made to look like a schmuck. But what's with all this classified information? Who's behind this? That's what really needs to be found out. Who's behind all of this? Who's behind all of this information being stolen out of NSA? And what is really in it? What really is in that? Is Benghazi in it? Fast Furious? IRS? What? What's in it? What's really in all these so-called files? And why hasn't somebody bumped him off yet? If it's really that important, why hasn't the United States been able to get him? They've got contacts in Russia. They've got contacts in China. Are they afraid that Mr. Snowden might release his information? So they're playing it cool? But I still like to know how and why information was allowed to be stolen from the NSA. And who is really behind it? That's what we need to find out. Who is behind this? I don't buy for a second that Mr. Snowden worked alone. I don't think this one person could do this all alone. He had to have help somewhere. He had to have help somewhere. So they believe like anywhere between 50,000 and 200,000 classified NSA and British government documents have been stolen. And evidently it's unclear. Where the material is stored, and has anybody tried to unlock it? Has Russia unlocked it? Has China unlocked it? Do they have it? Are they holding on? Are both of them holding on to it? Is China holding on to half of it and Russia holding on to the other half? That would be a smart idea. Then you're well protected by the United States, Russia, and China. One former senior U.S. official said that the Chinese and Russians have, cryptographers, I guess you might say, skilled enough to open the cache if they do find it. I'd like to know what the hell's going on with this story. There's something more to this than is being reported. There's something a lot more of this than what the government is saying. Why were they allowed to be stolen? Who really is Edward Snowden? Who is this man? I don't know. Do we really know who this Edward Snowden is? Is he CIA? Is he working for some government agency here? Did he go rogue? Who is he really working for? Is he really a Russian spy? Is he American? Who is this guy? I still can't believe there is no way that you could take that much information out of an agency such as the NSA if it wasn't allowed to. If it wasn't deliberate. Somebody somewhere had to know what was going on and allowed it to happen. Somebody somewhere. This guy had help. There's no way this guy was all on his own. I don't buy that for a second. No way. Maybe somebody within our own government planted him. Maybe somebody in the NSA wanted this information to get out. Maybe he didn't like what was going on, so he hired this guy and he let him do it. I don't know. Nobody knows. There's no way to know because this government's not going to tell you the truth, even if they do know. They may not even know. Of course, you know, Obama, he doesn't know. They don't put it on the news. You know, CNN and MSNBC don't cover it. He'll never know. He's not going to watch Fox News. I mean, oh. That's hater news. Oh, president's not going to watch that. No, no. You know, might hear the truth, and then, oh, God, be embarrassed. And, you know, you don't want to embarrass the king. Come on. So Glenn Greenwald, who met with Mr. Snowden in Hong Kong, and it was among the first to report on the leaked documents from the Guardian newspaper, said that the former NSA contractor had taken extreme precautions to make sure that many people around the world have these archives to ensure the stories will inevitably be published to somebody who is rogue and is doing this. However, with the amount of classified information that was taken, he had to have had help somewhere. And all these people, I don't buy this story that he just walked in and said, yeah, I need your password. Yeah, but who are you? Well, I'm an IT inspector. I need your password to do this. You don't give out your password, especially in the NSA. I'm pretty sure that the probably rule number one, never give your password out to anybody. And if it isn't, it should be. So none of this stuff really seems to make sense. Is it plausible? Could it all be 100% true? Well, maybe, but when has this government ever told you the truth before? When have they ever told you the truth? So why should we believe them now? And if you just look at the evidence, how somebody who's 2 months on the job, 3 months on the job, without a high school diploma, can extract all this information, the NSA, the biggest spy agency in the world, why are there not safeguards and securities in the biggest spy agency in the world? You see what I mean? This had to have been deliberate. Somebody somewhere allowed this to happen. Somebody big, not a little guy. You can't blame no little guy on this one. Their motives were, what their motives are, I don't know. I have no idea. I guess we'll have to find out once, you know, if this cache, which is now, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be out trying to find this cache. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people out, a lot of people out looking for this. And what happens if it does get into the wrong hands? Then what? I mean, what is this? I mean, you can't trust anybody in this government. Everybody's trying to screw everybody else. Meanwhile, the American people are suffering more and more and more. The middle class is shrinking, falling deep into the lower class. The upper class is falling into, well, what used to be middle class, and they're struggling. But we can all get free abortions now thanks to Obamacare. Isn't that amazing? Your 13-year-old daughter, the little rebel that she is, she doesn't even have to tell you, Daddy, that she got an abortion. She can just walk up to any 7-Eleven, scrape it on out, and boop, go on home like nothing ever happened. They can violate your daughter without your knowledge. At 13, she's a full-grown woman. You didn't know that? She can make decisions on her own. She's wise. She's a woman, a teen. And if she wants a free abortion, well, she should have that. And it's none of your damn business, Father. That's what's missing in this country is the parental guidance, our guidance. Your parents are not the enemies. Teachers. They teach you how to be dependent on yourself. On your own. They are your teachers. They are your professors. Your guides. They're not the enemy. But that's what this is all about. Even Common Core teaches the 6-year-old kids to argue with their parents and cry, throw a fit. They teach a 6-year-old how to throw a fit because the kid wants to go to, where the hell is that? I know I got that somewhere here. Well, I got this Common Core. I got this crap everywhere. There's so much of it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, they're teaching these kids to just be angry. Just argue. It doesn't matter what the argument is about. Just win the argument. That's all that matters. At 6 years old. And now we got this brat out there heckling the president who has, obviously this kid has no idea why the hell he's even there. Has no concept of what he's talking about. Obviously has never read the Constitution. Well, you can just sign an executive order. You have the power. Where do these people come from? Well, you got the power, Mr. President. You're the king. You didn't know that? Yeah. You got a constitution. You don't need that damn thing. Come on. Congress. Congress. You don't need no frickin' Congress. Come on. You're the king. You, executive order, man. That's all you got to do. You have that power, Mr. President. You have that power. Don't you know? You can make all these 11 million immigrants citizens. Right now, you've got that executive order power. You are the king. This is how ignorant people are. That kid is a very ignorant kid. He has been badly misinformed his entire life. He has been badly programmed his entire life. Yes, and that kid is programmed. That is an obot. That is a program. That is a sheep. Kid, I'm sorry, but you just made a complete ass out of yourself. You should be embarrassed, but you're too stupid to recognize that you're embarrassed. You are a stupid, stupid little man. You've got a lot of growing up and a lot of learning to do, kid, and I do feel sorry for you. And you didn't get stupid on your own, kid. You had a lot of help. You had a lot of help. You had a lot of teachers. You had a lot of stupid people around you. I'm sure you had to have. You had a lot of stupid college professors. You had a lot of stupid work colleagues if you ever had a job. You've had a lot of very stupid, stupid people around you. Therefore, all you've seen is stupid. You've watched your president do nothing but stupid after stupid. That's where you got the idea from. Well, you've seen him sign as many executive orders as he can possibly sign to keep his ass from getting into trouble. He can sign all the executive orders he wants to. He wants to get health care passed, just executive order it. No problem. Want to do this? Yeah, executive order it. But when a peasant calls out and said, well, Mr. President, you have that power, just sign an executive order. You have that power. He's taken aback. Like, wait a minute. No, that power is invested in for things that I want, not for what you want. You're the peasant. You're the subject. I am the king. And he had to admit, no, you're right. I don't have that power, actually. He had to actually admit that he doesn't have that power. He had to admit it there because, well, he was on tape and video and audio. Everybody was watching it. And Fox News was, you know, well, they were watching it. So he had to scold the child. And I'm sure afterwards he probably had somebody come back there and say, hey, look, you know, we had to scold it, you know, make it look good for the, you know, so Fox News doesn't, you know, report it. But, you know, we're working on that. We're working on that executive order. We're going to get that squared away. But you understand that we just can't say it now, you know, because Fox News, they might underfund it. So we got to keep that hush-hush just between us. I mean, these people just will stop at absolutely nothing. Through is, again, is... But I wanted to get through, so we'll try it again tomorrow. Eventually we'll get through all this stuff. It doesn't really matter. The point is, I thank you very much for listening here today or archiving it whenever you do listen to it. Make sure you tune in on Thursday, Thanksgiving. Let yourself, let the world know what you were thankful for. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 10. Goodbye, everybody.